We're doing a special class on the Medrash Pirkei de Eliezer, the 10th chapter, which focuses on the story of Yonah. And in our next class, we will, Bezat Hashem, review the story of Yonah with depth, but just to remind ourselves of the story of Yonah a little bit before we start the Medrash, let's remember, in the period towards the end of the first temple, there was a prophet by the name of Yonah, the son of Amittai, and he was told to go and prophesize to the city of Nineveh, which was the Assyrian capital, that God is going to overturn them. He feared that they would repent and this would look bad upon the Jews. He ran out to sea. In the sea, God made the sea swell, and there was a storm at sea, and the sailors saw that the ship was going to get destroyed. They drew lots. They discovered it was Yonah. They asked Yonah, "What'd you do?" He said, "I ran away from God." And so they asked him, "What should we do?" He said, "Throw me overboard." To make a long story short, they threw him overboard and the sea calmed down. And then Yonah was swallowed by a fish. He prayed to God from within the fish. The fish spit him onto the dry land. He went to Nineveh, gave them the prophecy. They repented, and God did not overturn Nineveh. And the rest of the story we will discuss, Bezat Hashem, in our next class. So now the Medrash, the Pirkei de Eliezer, has been working its way through the days of creation. And now the Medrash is discussing the fifth day in which the different fish were created. And the Medrash says, Bachamishi, it was on a Thursday, on the fifth day of the week, Barach Yonah mipnei Elokim, that Yonah ran away from God. Because it was on this day that the fish were created, and so on this day God gave this extraordinary fish the extraordinary power to swallow a man alive, and the man would stay alive within him for 3 days and three nights. So God did this with the fish on the day that the fish was created. So the Medrash is saying that day that he ran away, that Yonah ran away off to sea, was the fifth day of the week, a Thursday, and on that day he was thrown into the sea, etc. Ve'lama barach? And why is it that Yonah ran away? Ela, pam rishona shelacho lashiv et gevul Yisrael ve'amdu dvarav. The first time God sent Yonah, Yonah was sent as a prophet to tell the Jewish people that they would reconquer a certain area, a certain territory of Israeli land. And his words came true. Shenemaz, the verse says, v'yashiv et gevul Yisrael milevo chamat. This king, Yeravam ben Yoash, he regained the borders of Israel from the area of the city of Hamat, etc. And the end of the verse says, as God had prophesied at the hands of his prophet Yonah ben Amittai. Pam shniya, shlacho l'Yerushalayim l'achriva. The second time God sent Yonah to warn Jerusalem that it would be destroyed. Kevan shasu tshuva, the people of Jerusalem repented. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa kerov chasadav v'nicham al hara v'lo charva. God did as his kindness, and God, so to speak, took back the decree to destroy Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was not destroyed. V'ayu Yisrael korin oto navi sheker. So the common folk among the Jews, they said, Yonah, you're a liar. You said God's going to destroy Jerusalem. Look, it's not being destroyed. Obviously, the wise people understood that the prophecy was true, but because they did tshuva, so God went back on the prophecy. That's the whole point of sending a prophet, to say that something bad is going to happen, so that we understand that we're supposed to do tshuva, which, by the way, is something to think about. A prophet walks in and says, tomorrow Iran is going to have nuclear weapons. There's a tremendous threat to the Jewish people. A person could say, oy vey, let me write up a will, let me send all my assets to Switzerland, let me figure out what's going to be after everything's destroyed. Or a person could say, wait a second, why is he telling me this? Because I have to do tshuva. I have to figure out how to make things better. Which leads us to the concept of reading Yonah on the afternoon of Yom Kippur. We're supposed to think, how do we make it better? There's an interesting thought. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not entering the land of Israel. Our sages say, Moshe Rabbeinu took it lightly. He said, it's okay, God told me I'm not going in. There were so many other bad decrees and I was able to repeal all of them. I'm sure this one I'll be able to repeal as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, wasn't pressed to argue his case until it reached a point where God said, okay, it's going to be over. And then Moshe Rabbeinu started fighting his case. And God said, nope. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what do you mean, no? But A and B and C and D, and we have pages. We literally have whole chapters written on the conversation of Moshe Rabbeinu's pleading back and forth with God, let me in. And God says, no. And Moshe Rabbeinu sends this angel and that angel, and he comes with this claim and that claim, and back and forth and back and forth. And Moshe Rabbeinu was sure he'd succeed. And God said, no, the decree's been sealed. You're not entering the land of Israel. I'll destroy the whole world, but you're not entering the land of Israel. That's not happening. Until at the very end, Hashem, so to speak, grabbed Moshe by the throat by telling him, you want to go in? I have to destroy all of the Jewish people. Your choice. You want, you can go in. I'll destroy all of them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, God, you can't do that to me. No, that, you can't have that. Not that. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not stop and fight the decree early on. So when came time that he thought he'd be successful, he was unsuccessful. What do we learn from that? We're approaching Yom Kippur. We don't wait till the finish line. We don't wait till the sword's by our throat. The concept of Yom Kippur encourages us to do tshuva before we hit the deadline, before we hit Ni'ilah, before the gates close. So it's true, every day we have to do tshuva, and every day we can abolish a decree, but it's much harder. Sometimes we'll succeed, and sometimes, unfortunately, like Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't. So here, when Yonah came and told the people, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed, and we have no record of this in the prophet, this is a tradition we have. It doesn't say anywhere that Yonah came and told the people Jerusalem is going to be destroyed and then the decree was abolished. This we have on tradition. And then the people repented. And then God had compassion. And that was the whole point of sending the prophet, that they would do tshuva. Once they do tshuva, so the decree is abolished. But the common folk, they used to call Yonah, they used to call him Hayuk Yisrael Korinoto Navi Sheker. You are a fool's prophet, they said to him. So, they call Yonah a Navi Sheker, a fool's prophet. Pam Shlishit, the third time that God sent Yonah to Nineveh, he sent him Nineveh, to the city of Nineveh. Dan Yonah din beno leben atzmo. Yonah thought between himself, Amal, ani yudea shezeh goy kovei tshuvain. I know that this nation, they're going to easily sway and come back and repent. Their king is Paro, the ancient Paro from Egypt. He's already learned his lesson. God gave him longevity. He's sitting over there on the throne in Nineveh. He's lived 500 years. They have this old, sagacious king. For sure, when he hears that God is coming to punish his people, he'll get off his throne and tell the people, you guys, you repent. So they will repent. Achshav osin tshuva. So now they'll quickly do tshuva. V'akadosh Baruch Hu sholach ogzo al Yisrael. And God will send his wrath against the Jewish people. Their enemy is the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire already have the Jews subservient to them in the land of Israel. And now this empire that's posing the greatest threat to the Jewish people, and ultimately this is the empire that exiled millions of Jews, the 10 northern tribes. And think about it, those millions of Jews never got back. They're lost, destroyed among the nations. And Yonah knew that he has now the job to go and rebuke these people who will annihilate spiritually, who will exile millions of Jews, and then those Jews will intermarry and be lost off the face of the earth. So Yonah says to himself, how can I do this? Velo dai shiYisrael korin oti navi sheker. And not only do the Jews call me a false prophet, ela af umot haolam, but even the nations, they too will call me a false prophet, and then there's going to be tremendous chilul Hashem. So for the sake of Israel and for the sake of chilul Hashem, I can't have God's name desecrated. I don't want the Jewish people destroyed. Hareini boreach li lamakom shelo ne'emar kvodo sham. I will go to a place where God's honor, it's not stated that God's honor rests there. Im al hashamayim, if I go to the heavens, ne'emar shekvodo sham, the verses say God's honor is there, as the verse says, al hashamayim kvodo. Al haaretz, if I go on earth, ne'emar shekvodo sham, says his honor is there. Shne'emar, as the verse says, melo chol haaretz kvodo. God's honor is throughout the land. Hareini borech li lamakom shelo neimar kvodo sham. So I will run to a place where it does not say that God's honor is there. So where is Yonah running to? Yonah is running to the sea. Yarad Yonah leYafo, velo matza sham oniyah leRedba. Yonah went down to the port city of Jaffa, and he did not find a ship that he could alight to take him out to sea. Now, the Medrash says, "V'aniyah sheyarad by Yonah itay rechokah miYafo malach shnei yamim." The ship that he ultimately did go on was already 2 days' journey from the port city of Jaffa. Lenasot et Yonah, in order to test Yonah, me'asah kadosh baruch hu, what did God do? Hevia le'aruach sara bayam ve'chzira le'yafo. God sent tremendous winds at sea, and the ship that just set sail is blown 2 days' journey back, and they find themselves at the port city of Jaffa. V'ra'a Yonah, so Yonah sees that a miracle just happened. There were no ships there, and now the sailors are standing there on deck muttering, what kind of winds are there out at sea? We've just flown back 2 days' journey back to the port. V'samach b'ribo, and Yonah was happy in his heart. V'amar, and he said, Achshav ani yodea shedarkim yusharet lefanai. Now I know that my path is straight before me. If God did this miracle, it must be that really God wants me to do what I'm doing now. I'm protecting the honor of the Jewish people. I'm protecting the honor of God. Must be I'm doing right. Amar lahim eredim achem. So he told the sailors, let me go down with you. Amru lo, so the sailors said to him, Harei anu olchim neyei hayam Tarshisha. We're going out to the islands of Tarshish. Amar lahim avoim achem. So Yonah said, I'll come with you. Bederech kol ha'oniyot, and what was customary among all the ships, כשאדם יוצא ממנה הוא נותן שכרה. That you paid when you got off the ship. You didn't pay before you finished the journey. Who said that you'll make it safely? ויונה בשמחת ליבו הקדים מנתן שכרה. And Yonah, and with it, the rejoicing of his heart, he proceeded and paid the wages that he owed prior to the journey. Shenemar's, the verse says, Vayakom Yonah livuach Tarshisha midifnei Hashem vayered Yafo, etc. Pareshu, they set sail, Malach yom echad, a day's journey. Vamad alem ruach sara bayam miminam umismolam, and a terrible wind, a hurricane, started attacking them at sea, to their right, to their left. So there's a hurricane out at sea. V'derech koloniyot עוברות ושבות בשלום בשתיקות הים. The way ships usually pass through that sea was, it was a quiet sea. They didn't usually have any trouble. והאונייה שירד בה יונה הייתה בצרה גדולה. And now suddenly Yonah's ship was stuck in an unusually terrible situation. שנאמר, as the verse says, והאונייה חישבה להישבר. The ship seemed like it was going to capsize. So they set sail on calm seas, and seas that ordinarily did not have troublesome winds, and suddenly there's an unusual tornado at sea. Now, there's a different version of the Medrash that says that all the other ships were going quietly, and just around their ship was a storm. They look to their right, they look to their left, and everyone else is sailing calmly. But by them, there's a storm. But this Medrash doesn't say that. That's not the version we have here. The Medrash says it wasn't a sea that would ordinarily have a tornado. And we are going to discuss in the next class the importance of this concept. Because you have to ask yourself, what happened here? So there's a tornado at sea. Imagine you're flying on a plane and there's turbulence. So the plane starts shaking up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. The pilot can't steady the plane. So the pilot says, this isn't normal, guys. Usually we don't have this on the plane. Gentlemen, we're going to draw lots. We're going to figure out whose fault it is. So you say, whatever, you nuts? Draw lots? What do you mean? Steady the plane, you sailor. You pilot. So go land. Do an emergency landing. What, you're going to draw lots? And then they draw lots, and they discover who it is, and they say, it's all your fault. And we're going to throw you all overboard. What's going on here?
God's first.
Oh, so let's see now. we're going to have to ask ourselves, what were these sailors thinking? Was this common practice? When you got stuck at sea, you drew lots to figure out whose fault it was? Doesn't seem like it was. So there must be something unusual that caused them to do that. So our Midrash seems to say what was unusual was that this was an unusual tornado. You didn't usually have this types of winds on this sea. And the other Midrash seems to say that what was unusual was that they saw everyone else around them, it was calm. There was like the storm that was following them wherever they went. Now our Midrash, the Pirkei of Lezer, also said that these sailors just underwent an unusual wind, right? They set sail and suddenly they're flown back to port, 2 days journey, which makes it like they can't blame you. Nah, you guys had unusual winds just a few hours ago. So we have to think about how this Midrash understands what happened. Rabbi Chananya Omer. Rabbi Chananya says, "Mishivim leshonot ayu boniya." There were representatives of the 70 different languages, meaning the 70 different original nations that God created in the world, all had a representative. There was one person from each nationality on that ship. And each one had their defiled idol in their hand. Shenemal, the verse says, "Vayiru amalachim," the sailors were fearful. "Vayizaku ishel elokav," and each one yelled out to his God. "Vayishtachavu vayomru nikra ish b'shem elokav." They bowed and they said, "Let's each call out to his God." "Vaya elokim asher yaneh v'yatzil otanu mitzara zot hu elokim." And the God that answers us and saves us from this terrible situation, He's the real God. Okay? So each one calls out to their idol, and nothing works. And Yonah, he was in terrible state. So he went to sleep. And here we have to ask ourselves, what was Yonah thinking when he got on that ship? And what was he thinking now that the ship was on the verge of capsizing? He has over there at least 70 people on that ship, maybe more. And here he thought, God's happy with what I'm doing, and now he's at sea, and surprise, things aren't going the way he planned. So Yonah is pretty upset. And he lies down, and he falls asleep. Ba'ilav Rav HaChovel, the captain, came to him, Amalo, and he said to him, Chovel is he who pulls the chavalim, he who pulls the ropes. So the sailors are called chovlim, people who pull ropes, because that's how they set the sails. And Rav HaChovel is like the master sailor, the captain of the ship. Amarlo, so the captain says to him, "Arei anu umdim ben mavet lechayim." We're standing between death and life. "V'ata nirdam v'yashin." And you are sleeping, you're going to sleep. "Meza amata?" What nation are you from? He said, "I am a Hebrew." So the captain says to him, "But we've heard that the God of the Hebrews is great. So get up and call up to your God. Maybe God will have second thoughts about us. Maybe God will make miracles for us and save us." So it seems like they were praying for a miracle. They seemed to think that nature was going to make this ship capsize, and they needed a miracle to be saved from it. They didn't think there's a miracle happening now that we are being sunk. That's how the Midrash seems to be learning. We need a miracle from God. Well, if you need a miracle from God, then you don't seem to think that God is doing what's happening now. Unless we say, Yit'ashet Elokim, means God will have second thoughts. Which means then they do see it as hand of God. What's the difference how they viewed it? The difference is, why did they think it was right to draw lots? And why did they think it was right to throw them overboard? So let's see. V'yase imanu nisim. Maybe God will either have second thoughts or take note of what's happening here and do miracles for us, k'mo she'asa lachem b'yamsuf, like He made for you Hebrews at the Yamsuf. Amar lahem, so Yonah says to them, now he's talking to all the people it seems, "Lo achached mikim, I won't hide from you. Ki vishvili hatzara hazot alechem. It's because of me that you guys have found yourself in this situation. Sa'uni, lift me. Ve'atiluni el hayam, and throw me into the sea. Ve'ishtok hayam alechem, and then the sea will be silent from upon you." Shenemaz, the verse says, "Ve'yomer alechem," Yonah said to them, "Sa'uni ve'atiluni el hayam, lift me and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will be silent." Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, "Lo kiblu anashim le'apil et Yonah le'yam." The people didn't accept this thought to just throw Yonah overboard. They didn't accept it. Yonah says, "Throw me overboard." They didn't agree.
Are they, could we describe them as righteous Gentiles now?
Let's see. Let's see how the Medrash understands it. So I think they meant just as God showed over there that He's master of the sea, that He could control the forces of the sea.
It was in regards to what happened to them?
To the Jewish people at the Yam Suf. They said, just like God saved you at the Yam Suf, so too He should make miracles for us here and control the sea. Yeah.
Okay, that's easy.
So Rabbi Shimon says, "Lo kiblu anashim lapil Yonah el hayam." They didn't accept to throw Yonah into sea. Ve'pilu go'olot aleihem. They drew lots. Now this is a big chidush, what he's saying, because the simple understanding is when you read the verse that they drew lots first, and then they came to the conclusion it was Yonah, and then they said, "What'd you do?" And then Yonah told them what he did, and then they said, "What should we do?" And then he said, "Throw me overboard," etc. Rabbi Shimon says, "No, really, initially Yonah told them it's my fault." The verse doesn't say it, but really that's the order that things happened. And then they said, okay, then we'll draw lots, which gives a totally different light on what happened, right? We said, if a ship is about to capsize, it doesn't make sense, you should draw lots. Here, the way the Medrash is painting the picture, the ship was about to capsize, and Yonah was telling them, it's my fault. I'm a prophet, and I'm telling you it's because of me that the ship is about to capsize. Throw me overboard and things will be okay. Once Yonah tells them that, then they say, we don't accept it, we don't buy it, how do we know you? Who said we should listen to you? Maybe you went crazy. They don't accept what he's saying. That's what I asked someone today. I said, if you're on a ship, and the ship's about to capsize, and someone said, would you draw lots and throw someone overboard? So he said, well, if the guy came to me and said, it's my fault, God's doing this because of you, sure I'd throw him overboard. So I said, that's wrong. Maybe you have to get him psychiatric help. But who said you could throw him overboard just because he says it's my fault?
So what's the
lot for? Oh, so he said it's my fault. I'm a prophet of God. They said, we don't accept it to throw you overboard, so we will draw lots. And they drew a few lots.
Wait, so they accepted before that it's someone's fault, but now that it's his?
No, so they were willing to hear the concept that he's saying it's his fault. But when he said, okay, so throw me overboard, they weren't willing to spill his blood so easily. They didn't just say, oh, the ship's about to capsize, so you're saying it's your fault, we'll throw you overboard. We hear what you're saying, we're not sure whether we'll accept it or not, so we're not going to throw you overboard, we'll draw lots, and let's see what happens every time we draw lots. They drew lots, came out Yonah, they drew again, came out Yonah, they drew again, came out Yonah. They said, okay, something here is weird.
Oh, those
thinking
that.
Where did they get the idea that it's someone's fault?
So, according to this Medrash, Yonah told them so. According to this Medrash, when they told Yonah, so go daven, he said, it's my fault.
Okay,
that's the only reason it's happening. Yeah.
So if I come and tell you it's my fault, you'll say, okay, it's not your fault, but it's definitely someone's fault, so let's draw lots.
No. I'll say, you're telling me it's your fault, and you're telling me throw you overboard.
Maybe
so let's see the order of how they did things. He said, I'm telling you, they said, go daven. He said, no, I'm telling you, there's nothing to daven about. It's my fault. That's why this is happening. And the only way you'll resolve the situation is by throwing me overboard. We haven't yet dealt with the question, how did Yonah know that that was the solution? Meaning, who said maybe he should do tshuva? But so it seems like that they accepted. They said, we'll test it. We'll test it whether it's your fault or not. You're saying it's your fault, we'll test it with lots. It seems that they accepted it to that extent. That they accepted
their
concept.
His idea, but not the other.
They didn't want to throw him overboard. They were nice people. That's how the Medrash seems to say. They were pagans, but they were decent people.
Okay, I just didn't understand how they believed that.
Possibly, but you could see the difference between a guy saying it's my fault and a guy saying so kill me. Meaning if he told them it's my fault, so slaughter me. Each one of you should take his knife, poke me with it till I'm dead. You'd agree with me that maybe they could.
The lads were to find out whose fault it is.
So according to the Medrash, it seems like the lots were validating what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it seems like. They weren't sure whether they should accept what he's saying.
That's the second Medrash.
But isn't it maybe that Hashem wants to show this people that he's a true God?
Maybe. Let's see. Just a second. What do you mean?
The first Medrash just said, and we will draw lots. That is what we thought it was.
Right. That's Pashup Sham Nupsukim. Pashup Sham Sukim. It's not a Medrash. Pashup Sham Sukim is that's the order that it went. Right.
Sometimes
just a second. Just a second. Yeah.
So he can't teach you. He can't teach you because the only Shuva that there would be to turn the phone around, and you can't be righteous at someone else's expense. Yitzchak married both sisters, even though that's a Torah prohibition, just because he wasn't willing to be righteous at someone else's expense. So the only teshuva he would have done would have been very much inconvenienced the people on the boat, because the only possible teshuva is to turn around the boat. So the only possible thing that he can do is not be on the boat and let the boat continue on its course.
Okay, I think if you think about it, that's, you're making huge steps. You're saying that a person should give up his life rather than inconvenience people a day's journey. He didn't know he wasn't going to die. That's
pagans,
something where
pagans believe that the god of the sea, the guy has some connection with god of the sea. The god of the sea is going to take care of him.
Okay, let's see.
Yonah knows that he's not going to
give
that
off.
So let's see. So they drew lots. They pull a gual al Yonah, and the lot fell on Yonah. Shenemar's the verse says, "Vayapilu goralot." They drew lots. They pull, and the lot fell on Yonah. Me'asu, what did they do? Natelu et akelim shebaoniya, v'yishlichu otam el hayam lakel ma'alehim. First, they threw off all the vessels off the sea, or off the ship. And again, this isn't the order that the verses say it happened. But this is the order that the Medrash says it happened. The verses, as we will see later tonight, they describe a different order. The Medrash says, when Yonah said this, the first thing they did was they said, maybe if we throw the vessels off, the ship will be lighter, it will be able to keep up with the waves, it won't capsize. Yeah.
So now that they discovered that they draw, that it's Yonah, now they start throwing off vessels. They don't understand.
Well, I think that they were very reluctant to accept this. Which shows a good thing. Why? No, he could ask questions. Yeah.
I know, but we never get through.
We'll try to finish. Bezrat Shem will finish. Yeah. Right.
Then they.
Oh, we forgot to bring this.
The other half, that it's him. Draw lots. Turns out it's really him. And then it's like one of the best.
Right, you have an excellent point. They don't want to throw more. Right, look, they're let me tell you, when you'll deal with children, you'll see this very much. That when you try proving things to a kid, they're always going to come up with, well, maybe this, maybe that. So, when we were training one of our kids, so they walked in one day and said, the pants got wet. So he said, how do you think the pants got wet? Well, maybe someone spilled something on them, but no one was around you with anything wet. Well, maybe Hashem made them wet. They're always trying to figure out something else. It's not me. So that's on a small scale, but we all do that on some level. We all do. Think about Yom Kippur.
Just
think of how many things we try to justify and not change ourselves. And the same thing you see in the time of Mitzrayim.
Because people do that anyway. Because that was a common practice, even when God wasn't being taken into account. Like it was
get rid of the weight.
Because you loosen the weight, and so you move with the wind.
But that's, a that's exactly my question. So they would have thought that before throwing off people.
Right. I don't know. It's a good point. They did that before. You're saying they should have done it before the lots.
It's my fault throwing you off. No, let's draw lots if it's really your fault. Yeah, come then your fault. It's your fault. Let's throw off vessels.
Right, so it's a little bit illogical, which can be understood at a time of a tornado. Yeah, they should have proceeded. I agree. You're right.
Yeah, but human beings aren't always logical.
Right? Yeah. I think there are a lot of times, look, there are times in the prophets that a person says, give me a sign and I'll do what you say. You give him a sign, he says, okay, I'm still not doing what you say. But you said, if I give you a sign, you'll do what I say. Okay, let's continue. V'lo ilu muma. And throwing off the vessels didn't help a thing. One iota. Ratzu lachtov v'yabasha. So they wanted to turn back to dry land. V'lo echolu. And they could not. So they're trying to get back to dry land. It's not working. They tried everything. It doesn't work. And Yonah is telling them, throw me overboard. Masu, what did they do? Natalu et Yonah. They took Yonah. Ve'amidu al yalketei ha-sefina. And they stood at the edge of the ship. Ve'amru, and they said, Elokei olam Hashem. God of the world, Hashem, al titen alenu dam naki. Don't put clean blood on us. She'enanu yudin mativo shel ish hazeh. We don't know what is the nature of this man. And here, some have the version that says, Ve'hu amar lanu b'fiv shebishvilo atzra hazot. And he himself says that it's my fault. Amar lehem bishvili atzra hazot alechem. So nivatiluni elayam. He said to them, it's my fault that this is happening to you. Take me and throw me into the sea. Miyad, right away, nitaluhu, they took him. Ve'hetiluhu ad arkuvotav. They put him into the sea until his ankles, until his knees. V'amada yam izapo. So the sea calmed down. Sorry guys. Lakhu to etzlam. So they put him back on the sea. Sea calmed down. They bring him back on board. And the sea started arising against them, going wild again. Hetilu, they put him down, and this time they had to go ad taburo, till his navel. And the sea calmed down. Veluto etzlam. So they bring him back on board. And the sea went wild on them. Hetiluhu, this time they had to put him down, at savaro, till his neck. V'amada yamizapo, and the sea calmed down from its anger. V'odelu to etzlan, so again they brought him up to them, v'ayam olech v'soer alehim, and the sea went wild on them. Hetiluhu kulo, they threw him off completely, umiyad amad hayamizapo. And right away, the sea stood from its anger. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Memune haya oto adag livlo at Yonah mishesh timei v'reshit. That fish was assigned to swallow Yonah from the 6 days of creation. There was a big fish that was waiting. Its job in the world was to swallow Yonah.
Shenemar, it was created on the day of creation.
I guess it was created on the fifth day. What? Let's see the continuation of the Midrash.
Why the native interpretation?
What?
Why the seemingly needless repetition?
What was the repetition?
They put him down to this, and they put him down to this. And they
testing
it shows us that they were trying. They were trying. Yeah, they did their best.
They could have done it in Yeshua. Why necessarily they have to do it here, then to here, then to here? Then?
I don't know. Shneimal, the verse says, V'ayman Hashem da gadol livloat Yonah. God had set aside, God had created a great fish to swallow Yonah. Yonah entered this fish's mouth like a person who enters a great synagogue. V'amad, and Yonah was standing. And the two eyes of the fish were like two great windows lighting up for Yonah. Yonah was walking around the fish and he's in a great synagogue. Wow. Rabbi Meir Omer, Margalit achat hayta tlu'a b'me'av shel dag. Rabbi Meir says there was some kind of gem hanging inside the intestines of this fish. Meira liyonah, that gave light to Yonah, kashemesh hazeh shu meir batzoraim, like the sun that gives light at noon.
Maybe there were like those glowing fishes inside.
Could be. Umarelo kol ma shebayam uvatomot. And the fish gave him a tour of everything that's in the sea and at the bottom of the sea. And about him, about Yonah, the verse says, there is a light that has been planted for the tzaddik. Amalo adag li Yonah. The fish said to Yonah, Enata yodea, don't you know, sheba yomi leheachel befiv shel Leviathan, that today it's my turn to be swallowed by the great Leviathan. Today I have to be consumed, the fish tells Yonah. Bad news. There's a great fish in sea called Leviathan, and this fish consumes certain fish every day, and it was this huge fish, it was his turn to go get swallowed by the Leviathan. So the fish tells Yonah, don't you know it's my turn today? I'm getting swallowed by the Leviathan.
What do you mean my turn to be swallowed?
Oh, seems like different fish have different turns, yeah. That's how it would seem, yeah. It would seem that way, yes.
Margalit's pearl, isn't it?
Well, the Leviathan is just at the end of the food chain.
So let's see. Amalo Yonah holicheni etzlo. So Yonah tells the fish, take me over to him. Amalo Yonah li Leviathan. So Yonah comes to the Leviathan and he says to him, Bishvilcha yaradti. I came down looking for you, he tells the fish, the Leviathan. Lirot mekom edorcha, to see where you live. Shani atid liten chevel bilshoncha, for I am going to put a rope around your tongue. And bring you up out of the sea, and I will slaughter you for a great feast for the tzaddikim. He showed him the seal of Avram. He said, take a look at the covenant I have with God. And when he said that, and the Leviathan saw it, he ran from before Yonah, 2 days' journey, he ran away. So Yonah says to the fish, you see, I saved you from the mouth of the Leviathan. Show me everything that's in the sea and in the depths. Sorry, now we really are short on time. She showed him the great sea and the waters of the ocean. The verse says, the depths surrounded me. He gave him a tour of the Yamsuf where the Jews crossed upon exit from Egypt. The verse says, the Yamsuf was wrapped around my head. And he showed him the place which is the source from where the different waves come out of the sea. The verse says, all your different waves have passed upon me. And he showed him the pillars of the earth and its foundation. The verse says, I saw the earth and its locks, so to speak, for eternity. And the fish showed him perdition. The verse says, God, you took me out from the depths of perdition. And he showed him the depths of perdition, as the verse says, Yonah says, I prayed from down by the depths of perdition and you heard my voice. And he showed him where is God's temple, so to speak, as the verse says, Lekitzve arim yarati, I went down to the edge of the mountains. Mikananu lemedin, from here we learn, Sheirushalayim al shiva arim yomedet, that Jerusalem is really sitting on seven different mountains. And Yonah was able to get to the base of those mountains in the sea. Herao even shtia kvua bateumot tachat echal Hashem. He showed him the stone that the whole world was created around, which we have on tradition, that's the stone that's in the Holy of Holies, and he showed him that foundation stone set to the depths under the temple. And he showed him the sons of Korach who were standing there and praying there. Amalo adag, the good question. The fish said to Yonah, you're standing under the Holy of Holies. Here you could pray and you'll be answered. Amalan Yonah adag. So Jonah said to the fish, "Amod bimkom omdecha, shani mvakesh leitpalel. Stand put, because I want to pray." Told the bus to stop driving. Wait a second, I got a daven. Amad adag. So the fish stood. Veitchil Yonah leitpalel lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah started praying before God. Va'amar lefanav, and he said before him, "Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World. Nikret amorid u'maale. You are called one who brings down and brings up. Yaradti, I have gone down. Ha'aleini, bring me up. Nikreta mimitum chaye. You are called he who puts to death and gives life. Harei nafshi higea lamavet. My soul has reached death. Hachayeni, give me life. ולא נענה, and his prayer was not answered, עד שיצא מפיו דבר זה ואמר, till the following thing came out of his mouth, אשר נדלתי אשלמה, I will fulfill my promise. Which promise was that? אשר נדלתי להעלות את לוויתן ולסבוח אותו לפניך. That which I took a vow to take up the Leviathan and slaughter him before you, Ashalem biyom Yeshuat Yisrael, I will pay back on the day of the Israel's salvation. Now this measure seems to indicate that Yonah is going to last, Yonah is going to be around at the end of time. Just like Mashiach is going to come, Yonah is going to come and help us prepare the great feast. So Yonah seems to have a very special role. The Medrash is teaching us that Yonah is up there. And we know that Yonah was brought back to life by Eliyahu, right? And we know Eliyahu is going to come at the end of time. So here we see that Yonah is also coming back at the end of time. Miyad ramaz hakadosh baruch hu v'shlicht Yonah. Right away God hinted to the fish and he threw out Yonah. As the verse says, v'yomer Hashem ladag v'aket Yonah l'yavasha. God said to the fish and it spit out Yonah into the dry land. Ra'u ha-malachim, the sailors saw et kol ha-otot v'niflot ha-gdolot she'asa hakadosh baruch hu im Yonah. All the amazing things that God did with Yonah. They land in the city of Nineveh. And they see Yonah walking the dry land saying, Nineveh is going to be overturned in 40 days. They say, how'd you get here? We threw you out at sea. And Yonah tells them the whole story. So they saw everything that happened. Right away they each took their idols, threw them into the sea. Shneimar, the verse says, those that watched fools hope, chasdam ya'azovu, they leave their idol worship, v'chazru le'yafo, they returned to the port city of Jaffa, v'alu l'Yerushalayim, they went up to Jerusalem, u'malu et b'saram, they circumcised their flesh, and emaz, the verse says, v'yiru ha'malachim yirah gdolat Hashem v'yizbechu zevach l'Hashem, the sailors feared a great fear of God, and they brought a sacrifice before Hashem, they're out at sea, v'chi zevach zavchu, they brought a sacrifice at sea, v'alu an mekablim zevach min ha'goyim, we don't accept sacrifices from Gentiles, but rather this is a reference to the blood of their circumcision that is like the blood of a sacrifice. And they took an oath and they each took an oath to bring their wives and their family and everything they own to the God fearing state to fear the God of Yonah, and they paid up this vow. They took a vow and they paid up their vow. And about them, the verse says, "Al ha-geirim gerei ha-tzedek," about the gerim who were true, righteous gerim. That is a reference to the gerim, these sailors who became Jewish after the miracle that happened to Yonah. So we saw a little bit about what happened to Yonah.